what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Pastor Andre, preach this word. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Last week we started a series. We actually were in the second week of this series. The first week we kind of went a little outside of the box and we talked about race relations. We were in a relationship series. And so we talked about race relations, piggybacking right off of what happened in Charlottesville. And then last week we talked about Ruth relations. How many remember Ruth relations? And it was 21 must-have lessons from Ruth chapters 1 and 2 from the Message version of the Bible. And so we took care of that and talked about it. And I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed talking about it. I enjoy talking about relationships. And so I was thinking about a creative way to come behind that, and my brain was fried. So the only thing I came up with was Ruth Relations 2. I know that's not that fancy, but part 2. Somebody say part 2. And what we're going to do, we're going to do 21 must-know lessons from Ruth chapters 3 and 4. So we did Ruth 1 and 2, and now we're going to go to Ruth 3 and 4. And there is a particular area that I'm honing in on today, which will be the single woman. But even though you're here and you're not a single woman, because there's a lot of people who are not single women in here, you're going to find many things or you're going to be able to relate to in the message. And so we call it Ruth Relations because there's so many things you can relate to. But if you are a single woman, there's some special things in here just for you. Amen? All right, we're going to do this just a little different. Elect lady, I'm going to read the scriptures today, and I want you to read the points that come up. I got points and side notes. There'll be 21 of those points, and we're going to get to rolling. Somebody say, roll, Pastor.
Roll.
All right, I'm ready. Ruth 1 and 2 says this. One day, her mother-in-law, Naomi, said to Ruth, "My dear daughter, isn't it about time I arranged a good home for you so you can have a happy life?" When we ended last week, we talked about the fact that Ruth was loyal, and no matter what blessing she got, she stayed with Naomi. And so Naomi's looking ahead, and Naomi is saying, "We need to do something for you, Ruth." The next verse says this, "And isn't Boaz our close relative, the one with whose young women you've been working with?" Isn't God strategic? And you might need to pick up last week's message just to get all the background, because I don't have time to give you the background. But she's basically saying it's strategic how God worked, and God put us right in line with Boaz, who was a relative of us. And we talked about it last week. It was the fact that it really wasn't a setback. It was a setup for a comeback. And so Naomi is looking at this, and Naomi is saying, God is in work. The next verse says this, "Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night of Boaz's barley harvest at the threshing floor." Point number one, would you read it, Mother Mitchell?
Must know when to make a move.
You must know when to make a move. I like the way Naomi said it. Naomi said, "It's time to make our move." Let me say something to you single women. Sometimes the church has done a disservice because we used to teach you to be a peach out of reach. But let me tell you, if you keep being a peach out of reach, somebody not going to find you. You got to know how when it's your turn to make a move. Yeah. Oh, I'm not talking about being forward, and I'm not talking about being extra. A lot of young girls are extra. A lot of young girls are getting attention on Instagram and Facebook. I'm not talking about that, but don't just let everybody pass you by. You got to know, I'm getting too old. It's time to make a move. I know you want somebody, a knight in shining armor, to come and sweep you off your feet and knock on your door and tell you I love you because you watched the romance novels. But baby, this is 2017. Sometimes you can't wait. You got to make a move. And I don't know who else I'm talking to, not just single women, but there's somebody that wants to start a business. You can't wait. It's time to make a move. Somebody wants to change their life. You can't wait. You got to know when it's time to make a move. Because here's the thing, one thing I want you to know. Opportunity is not guaranteed to come to you a second time around. When an opportunity presents itself and you pass and you sleep on it, is no guarantee that's going to come back around. Some of us older people understand that. Some people who look at their little black book and they see the people that got away because they thought, I'll get another chance. You are not guaranteed another chance, so you must know when to make a move. All right, verses 3 and 4 says this. Take a bath. Put on some perfume. Get all dressed up and go to the threshing floor. Naomi was telling this to Ruth. Point number 2.
Must understand the power of personal hygiene and personal presentation.
Let me get out of the spirit for a second and let me just come down to reality. You got to understand the power of personal hygiene. She said, whatever you do, Ruth, don't make a move. First, take a bath. Put some perfume on. Get some smell goods on, because you're not going to attract who you want to attract smelling like a mule coming out of the farm. You got to take a bath. Sometimes we like to get too spiritual and overcomplicate stuff. Sometimes it comes down to your personal hygiene. Young man, I know you want a job, but don't go to the interview smelling like you played basketball for 12 weeks. Take a bath. Put some perfume on. Get yourself together. You have to understand also, not personal hygiene, but your personal presentation. You are a brand. You are your own company. And how you present yourself is how people will see you. So you cannot have your pants sagging down to your ankles and you want somebody to take you serious. I'm not here to talk about you, but you've got to present yourself in the way you want to be treated. Well, I'm not a white supremacist. Well, why are you carrying the flag the way you carry it? Present yourself how you want to be treated. Well, I want to be a businessman. Well, what kind of grades did you get? Well, I flunked all math classes, but I believe God. No. Present yourself on what you think God wants you to do. Your personal presentation goes a long way. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says the outer man, a man looks on the outer appearance. God looks on the heart, and it's true. God looks on your heart, and God knows your heart, but we see your outer appearance. It's not, you cannot expect a man, and you cannot expect a woman to see beyond your bad hygiene and beyond your presentation and see your heart. God sees your heart, but us humans, we see you. And here's the thing. We judge books by their cover. We don't want to. We shouldn't. But the truth is we judge books by its cover. So guess what? Do the best you can. Well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money. You have to understand how to work and shop at Goodwill and make whatever you put on work good. It doesn't have to cost you a lot. The only thing you really need in your arsenal, there's one thing you need in your closet, and it's called confidence. If you've got confidence, no matter what you put on, you can present yourself like you're somebody special. That's what you need. I wish I could stay there a little longer, but I got to go. You need some confidence about yourself. Let me jump a corner real quick. You ever watch Shark Tank? And you ever watch when some of those people come in, the product may be good, but they don't have any confidence. The product may be good, but the presentation is all messed up. You've got to present yourself like you're the best thing going. I'm not saying you're more prideful than anybody else, or you're looking better than somebody else, or you're looking down on someone, but you present yourself in such a way that can nobody stop me from getting what God has for me. What God has for me, it is for me. I was born for this. I was destined for this, and I won't let no devil in hell rip it out of my hands. This belongs to me, and I'm going to present myself like I want what I want. Pastor, there's no jobs in Muncie, especially when you get up at 4 p.m. looking for one. No, there's not any jobs. You got to present yourself like you want one. Be sitting on the corner at 6 a.m. when the CEO gets there and get right there and get ready for the interview. Present yourself like you want something from God. Somebody give God a good amen. Next verse, it says, but don't let him know you're there until the party is well underway. And he's had plenty of food and drink. Let me read that again. But don't let him know you're there. Don't be so forward and so jumpy. And let me put it to you this way. Some of you older people may not get it, but young people understand this. Don't be so thirsty. Don't be so thirsty looking. You got to know how to present yourself. I know you're single, but you got to know how to present yourself in such a way where you're strategic. And so he says, but don't let him know you're there until the party is well underway and he's had plenty of food and drink. Read point number three.
Must understand the male psyche.
Let me turn a corner real quick and let me talk to you single women. It's something that you've got to understand the male psyche. And somebody's saying, I've been trying to understand the male psyche all my life. So thank God. I can't give it all to you right now. But let me give you just a little inkling about us. Sometimes we don't notice what you think we notice. Sometimes we don't pick up on what you think we're picking up on. I've been winking at him for the last 10 years. He thought you had dust in your eyes. He does not know. He has no clue. It's something about us. Sometimes we really don't know even when you're attracted to us. And so what Naomi said, here's something you got to do. You've got to get around him when he's in a comfortable place. Because a real man is trained to not show his emotions. So if you're in a business setting, he may not ever let you know that he's thinking about you. So you got to find a way to get to him when he's in a different setting. And here it was talking about his food and drink once he's got relaxed. Once he's at the game, once in this context, once he's had a few drinks in him, then maybe you can find out. In other words, you've got to get to him when he is in a comfortable place. You got to get around him when his guards are down. How can I say that? Pastor, I've been coming to church all my life, and they say there's good men in the church, and I can't find a man in church. One thing I need you to understand, a real man, when he comes to church, he's not looking for women. He's looking for God. So don't try to impress him in the church because he's really not focused on you if he's focused on God. You've got to find a way to get to him in the church picnic. You got to find a way to get to him when you see him at McDonald's. You got to catch him in his comfortable place and then shoot your thing. And then he'll wake up and say, wait a second, maybe she might be thinking about me, because we're not as smart as we act. And you have to understand when he's in his comfortable place, that's when you can get his attention. Does that make sense? All right, let's go to the next verse. The next verse says this. When you see him slipping off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there. Lie at his feet to let him know that you are available to him for marriage. Can you help me with my feedback? And take the gain down. Gain on number 8. There we go. All right, I was trying to go beyond that, but it was bugging me. All right. When you see him slipping off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there. Lie at his feet to let him know that you are available to him for marriage. And then wait and see what he says. He'll tell you what to do. Sometimes you just got to let people know I'm available. I know the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and I know you're waiting to be found, but you have to be in a place where you are available. People have to know you are available. People have to know, let me say this again, people have to know you are available. Sometimes the reason why you get passed over, because you don't look available. You never smile. You just grit your teeth. You got the kids. Come on, kids. You don't want nobody to look at you because you're frustrated. But you have to understand there's somebody around that might be watching you, and you've got to look like you're available.
You have to look like you're going somewhere in order to get where you want to go. You have to have the look. We've already covered with the outer look, but you need to look like you're available. So she said, go lay down. Why don't you give us the next point, number four.
Must not be afraid to make it known you are available.
Must not be afraid to make it known you are available. Say this again to the single women. It's okay to let somebody know, I'm looking to get married in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I don't want to be lonely. And basically what I'm saying, I'm trying to get around the issue, but let me just say it this way. I don't need a man. I can do bad all by myself. Stop lying. You want a man tomorrow. Stop faking the funk. Let somebody know I'm available. My heart has been hurt. I've been through hell and high water. But at the end of the day, I believe in love. And if the right one comes along, I'm letting mama know. I'm letting pastor know. I'm letting daddy know. I want something for me. I am available. It's okay to be tough. It's okay to let somebody know I'm available. All right, let's go to number five. Number five says, Ruth said, if you say so, I'll do it just as you've told me. So Naomi was telling her what to do, and she was listening. All this other time, it was Naomi talking. Ruth wasn't talking. Ruth was listening. Let me say that again. All this other time, Naomi was talking, and Ruth was listening. Let me say it one more time. Naomi was talking, and Ruth wasn't talking and over-talking her. Ruth was listening. Let me talk to you young people. There's some people who've been where you're trying to go. Stop talking so much and take some time and listen. Go to number five.
Must understand the power of having a seasoned woman in your corner.
Not just a seasoned woman, but any seasoned person. You need somebody seasoned in your corner. Don't let the wrinkles on her face fool you. She knows what she's doing. She's been through something. So shut up and listen to a woman. Don't go to all your friends who don't have any relationships that have ever made it. They've never done anything with them their life. Go to somebody, some old woman. Don't look like she knows what she's talking about. And ask her, how was it like getting through the depression? And shut up and listen. Yeah. And what I like about it, earlier in the chapter, Naomi said, it's time that we make our move. Because when a seasoned saint or seasoned woman or a seasoned man is in your corner, they believe every victory you get, they get, because they understand when I'm tied to you and when I mentor you, whatever you advance in, it advances all of us. So get somebody in your corner who won't be jealous of you. Your problem is everybody around you is in the same place as you. And so when you talk about your dreams, they laugh and they secretly try to pull you down. You need somebody outside your corner who's been where you're already trying to go and is on the other side who can speak into your life. All right, verse 6 says this. She went down to the threshing floor and put her mother-in-law plan into action. It was a strategic plan. She put it into action. Verse 7, Boaz had a good time eating and drinking his full. He felt great. Then he went off to get some sleep, lying down at the end of a stack of barley. Ruth quietly followed. She laid down to signal her availability for marriage. I like what Ruth was not playing. Ruth was trying to let Boaz know, don't look anywhere else but here. Don't look at the Instagram models when you got somebody right here just as good looking. Don't be looking off and going to Atlanta to find somebody when you got somebody right here. Don't be trying to go all the way to Russia and find a girl when you got somebody right here. I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to make sure that you know who I am, because if you pass this up, it's going to be your fault and mine too. So I'm going to do what I got to do. And what I like about it, it says that she lay down to signal her availability for marriage. I'm going to say it again. She laid down. She didn't lay with. Let me say that again. She laid down, but she didn't lay with. Let me, I didn't mean to go here, but let me say it this way. Man, I'm sorry if I got to tell on us for a second. We are hunters. Men are trained to hunt. And when you take away the hunt, we still will enjoy the kill, but you took away the thrill, and we won't respect you if there is no hunt. In other words, if I tell my boss I'm going to hunt for deer in deer season, and when I get to the field, there is a buck already laying dead, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull it and act like I did it, but on the inside, I know I didn't really have any fight. There was nothing that really challenged me. So when you automatically lay with instead of laying next to, what you do is you rob yourself of the challenge that the man needs to chase you. And so if you get with them all of a sudden right away, you kill the thrill. And the problem is he really doesn't respect you even though he'll lay with you. Oh, let me say it over here. Let me point this way, because he will lay with you, but not respect you. He will allow you to make him feel good and feel pleasure, but he really won't respect you. Well, let me put it to you this way. He'll be with you for years, and you'll never meet his mama. Because he really doesn't respect you, because you took the thrill away. But here's the thing. The Bible says that Ruth laid down next to. So here's the other extreme. Sometimes in the church, we've got the other extreme. We want people to wear turtlenecks up to their nose, and we want them to have dresses all laid down here. Here's the thing. You can be saved, single, and sexy. You ain't got to cover everything up. You got to know how to lay next to without laying on top of. Let me put it to you that way. You got to lay down without laying on top of and still have your respect. You're helping good, Andre. You're helping good. I'm not talking to none of y'all in here. I'm talking to the young folk that's going to watch me on the TV and the podcast. I'm trying to get them to understand that even though it seems old-fashioned, if you can wait, it'll bless your life. Next verse, or next point.
Must know the power of laying next to, but not with, who you want.
All right, we already covered that. Oh, let me go back to you for just a second. When you say Netflix and chill, make it be Netflix and chill. Make it really be watching movies. Don't be doing something else, because you move yourself into something you're not quite ready for. All right, next verse. It says it's 8. In the middle of the night, the man was suddenly startled and sat up, surprised. This woman asleep at his feet. Number 9, he said, "And who are you?" Now, if you remember last week, he had already asked her who she was. So he knew who she was. But here's the thing, because men are the way they are, once she really made herself available and known, it was like, oh, wait a second. You mean you are into me? Let me be honest with you. Most good men marry out of their league. We get somebody that really is not for us, and the reason why we get somebody on a higher level than us is because we didn't even know that they were thinking about us. It's a surprise to us. And what you're thinking is, I'm always getting passed over and people are always missing me, but there's a surprise in the man when he realizes, wait a second, maybe I'm not out of her league. Let me say it to you this way. The devil is so slick, and some of y'all who are already married and already moved in relationship, you can just amen if you understand. The devil is slick. He'll take a pretty girl and give her low self-esteem and make her feel like she's ugly. And so what happens is he'll take a man who would be interested in that pretty girl, but he'll think she's out of my league. Now, the pretty girl and the man should be together, but they don't end up getting together because the girl thinks I'm no good and the man thinks she's out of my league. And guess what? Two folks should be getting together, but they don't even know it because they've been robbed to understand who they are on the inside. And so when Boaz seen, wait a second, this Ruth is interested in me, it was a surprise to him. All right, number 7 says this.
Must realize how clueless men really are on how you feel.
I want to say that again. You have to realize how clueless we really are on how you feel, especially if you're modest. And especially if you're doing what you're trying to do, and especially if you're a single mother, you're trying to handle kids, and you're doing all these things, and sometimes you're shooting these advances to give us some type of signal, and sometimes we're clueless. But I promise you, the moment we realize, wait a second, she might be into me. All right, let's read some more. It's going to get better, I promise. 10 through 13, it says this. He said, God bless you, my dear daughter. What a splendid expression of love. Wait a second. She didn't say nothing about love. She didn't say anything about I love you. All she did was get close enough to him for him to understand that there might be an attraction here. And the next thing he's doing is, whoo, this is an expression of love. I'm going to tell you something. A man, if you touch him, he'll slide down a mountain of razor blades into a pool of alcohol just for you. If you touch a man, he'll tell you, I'll give you the sun, the moon, the stars. He ain't got none of that, but you make him feel like a king. You got to know how to touch a man in the right way without automatically touching the man. You got to touch the man without touching the man. So in other words, what you got to do, you got to be so smooth and so slick and so good with it that when you leave his presence, he smells you all day long. My goodness, when he walks by that perfume counter, he smells your perfume above all things because you so smooth and you so slick with the way you did it. You got to know how to mess with his head without ever messing with him in a physical way and move in such a way that he's going to move heaven and earth. I don't care what I got to do before I leave this earth. I've got to have that one there. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching like this for a reason. I'm preaching like this for a reason because God told me there's some folk going to be getting married in the next couple of years, and I'm trying to get y'all ready because I don't want you missing out on what God has for you. And yes, it is thin out there. It is thin out there in these streets. It's folk that's locked up. It's people dead. But I'm telling you, God will bring folk from any kind of place he has to so you can have what God wants you to have. All right. Splendid expression of love. And when you could have had your pick of any of the young men around. Number 8.
Must know that if you grip his ego, it can lead to his heart.
Let me give you a clue about us. One thing, all you really got to do is touch our ego. All you really got to do is get a hold of what moves us. In other words, he's not the best talking man in the world, but you got to look at him like you eating every word. When he's talking and he really ain't making sense, you're just looking in his eyes. It's something about that man. He gonna start talking fast. He can't really even talk. But when you touch his ego, you can't automatically crush a man the moment you meet him. Maybe his outfit don't match, but talk about what he is doing right. If you can touch his ego, if you can touch that center of a man, that makes him work. Now let me jump off of single folk and talk to married people. Let me tell you why something. All you really need to do is every now and then stroke his ego. He can go on another 5 years with you. All you need to do is make him feel good. Somewhere around 50 in his midlife crisis. And they also say the 7-year itch is something about a man. He gets itchy and he might want to have wandering eyes. You ain't got to worry about what you look like and, oh, I've gained weight and he might leave me. You ain't got to worry about none of that. Just touch his ego. When he comes home, can't nobody provide for me the way you provide for me. You know you paying half the bills anyway, but just still make him feel good. If you touch his ego, you can get to his heart. And the Bible says where a man's heart is, his treasure is. If you want his money, don't ask him for money. Touch his ego. He summertime, he want a grill. He burns up everything. Ooh, these black hot dogs are the best hot dogs I ever tasted in my life, honey. Whatever you got to do, but if you touch his ego, he'll do for you. Now let me jump and go spiritual. God is the same way. If you praise him and tell him how good he is, and tell him that how great he is, and there's nobody like you, and nobody can move like you move, and nobody can fix it like you fix it. All you got to do is praise him. When praises go up,
blessings come down. All right. Next verse.
And now, my dear daughter, don't you worry about a thing. I'll do all you could want or ask. Everybody in town knows what a courageous woman you are, a real prize. Up until this point, Boaz hadn't said anything. But once she got close to him, she found out he had been thinking about her. He had been asking around about her. And what does the next one say? Number 8, 9.
Must know your worth already. And realize somebody sees you as a prize.
Here's the thing. Don't ever go somewhere not already knowing your worth. You are a prize. I don't care how many times you've been done a bad. I don't care who walked out on your life. I don't care who molested you. I don't care how many addictions you have in your life in the previous life. I need you to understand you are worth it. If God is still putting breath in your body, you are worthy. You are worth it. You are somebody. Don't let the hell of life rob you of your worth. You are worth something. But here's the thing. When you know your worth, you won't settle for something that's less than you. Now, I drive a Cadillac because I work for General Motors and I like Cadillacs. Now, if you come to me and say, we're going to make an even trade, I'm going to give you my 1976 Pinto for your 2008 Cadillac. If I don't know the worth of what I have, I'll trade what I have for something that's not near as valuable because I don't know the worth of what I have. Here's the thing. You can't let somebody talk you out of what you've planned on. Some of you young women had dreams to be business owners and finish college, and you let some jackleg man who ain't got no job talk you out of your dream. You got to know your own worth. Let me tell another story. Some of these street men, they are trained to prey on people who don't know their worth. They're trained. They look for the girl who doesn't have a good relationship with her daddy because there's an opening. But let me let you know something. I don't care who walked out on you. You got to know God is still for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I know my worth. You cannot stop my dream. You better go on somewhere with your stink breath and your bad attitude. I'm not dealing with you. Another thing, you can touch a man's ego, but you can crush him good too. You got one of them jokers that's in your inbox and ain't meaning no me, you no good. Put them on blast. Screenshot them and put them on blast. I guarantee you he'll let you go. You got to know how to use your own worth for your advantage, because at the end of the day, you are a real prize. Somebody say, I'm a real prize. Next verse says this. You're right. I am close. I'm a close relative to you, but there is one even closer than I am. So stay the rest of the night. He told her to spend the night. I don't know where the scriptures get ready to go, but I wasn't expecting it to say that. So how am I going to preach that? But here's the thing. That's why you got to be careful of anybody who takes scriptures out of context. Because some no good man, I ain't talking about in the street, some no good preacher will take one of them scriptures and say, well, you know, you're supposed to spend the night with me. You better tell them, listen, I know my Bible, and I know my pastor, and listen, if we're going to spend the night, me, mama, grandma, my pastor, we all spend the night, but ain't going to be no me and you. You ain't going to pull the wool over my eyes. I'm not as dumb as you think I am. I know my worth and my value. But he told her to spend the night. Next one says this. In the morning, if he wants to exercise his customary rights and responsibilities as close as the closest covenant redeemer, he'll have his chance. But if he isn't interested, as God lives, I'll do it. Now go back to sleep until morning. So I skipped a few verses, but in the meantime, there was an obstacle between Boaz and Ruth getting together. There was another relative. There was something in the law that said that if a person is a widow and Ruth had lost her husband, so she's in a restart of her life. And let me say that again to somebody else who's in a restart of your life, and you may have lost something, something is dead. It's okay. But even when you try to restart, there's obstacles. And so what the man said, what Boaz said, you rest, you sleep tonight, I'm going to work on the obstacles. I'm going to deal with the obstacles. You rest. I need you to know, women, if you have a man that dumps all his stress on you, he ain't a real man. A real man says, you rest, and I'll stress out and try to fix the problem. Let me make it real easy in 2017 terminology. If you going to work every day and you got a man laying on your couch eating your food and ain't doing nothing, you got the wrong man. You need somebody that says, if anybody's going to work, I'm going to work. I'm going to make this thing right. I'm going to fix this thing up. What I want you to do, I want you to rest. I want you to relax. And let me talk to us husbands just for a second. Sometimes if you want a new woman tomorrow, drop $1,000 in her hand and say, I want you to rest. Go get your hair done. Go get your nails done. Go get your feet done. For another 7 years, you're going to have the best wife you ever had. All it takes is one day, let her know, just rest. I got this. And this is what a woman really wants, a man that will take charge and say, I got this. I didn't say a man that would boss her around. I said a man that would take charge. In other words, what we mean is that when the problem hits, instead of sending your wife and your kids out first, you stand up and say, if you're going to go through anybody, you got to go through me. Yes. Don't trust the man who gives the bill collector phone calls to you and tries to duck and hide. You need a man that will stand up and say, we made these bills, but the buck stops with me.
All right, that's what Boaz was doing. And that's why he told her to stay tonight. He was saying, rest, I'm going to handle it. He wasn't saying something else. Number 10, read number 10.
Must know a real man seeks to handle business before getting your business.
I tried to say that kind of nice. But a real man will make sure he takes care of business before getting your business. In other words, I don't have time to be in the back touching on you. I need to be working on my credit so I can be the type of man you need me to be. So we can date, but when it's time for you to go your way, I'm going to go my way because I'm working on something so we can have a life together.
That's what real men think. All right, the next verse says this. 14, Ruth slept at his feet until dawn, but she got up while it was still dark and wouldn't be recognized. Then Boaz said to himself, no one must know that Ruth came to the threshing floor. Now, I've been giving you points, but because I am where I am, I just want to give us a side note. Put side note number one up. Side note number one says what?
Must know how to keep your private life private long enough for it to be successful.
Don't run to Facebook every time you meet somebody new. Learn how to keep stuff secret. Don't tell your girlfriend every time you meet somebody new, because sometimes the girl you think is in your corner is plotting behind your back. Sometimes, zip your mouth up. I know girls, this is what they do. They try to be slick. They put it on Facebook. He makes me smile.
Now everybody's going to start asking questions.
Shut up for a second. Wait some months. Don't tell anybody except for your covenant people, like the seasoned woman in your corner, like maybe your pastor. But sometimes you got to keep private things private. Some of your dreams, the reason why God gave them to you at sleep is so you can keep them and work on them. Don't run your mouth. Somebody will steal your dream and sit in the same church with you. Everybody beside you ain't right. Keep some stuff private. Side note number one, keep some stuff private long enough for it to be successful. Sometimes you kill your own self by running your mouth. Sometimes you don't need to tell nobody anything. And when they ask you a question, you don't have one answer for them. I'm blessed and highly favored. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know any other details. I'm blessed and highly favored. Didn't I see you in Applebee's with so-and-so? I'm blessed and highly favored. That's all you need to know. Where you going? What you doing? I thought you went to Cancun last week. Who'd you go with? How can you afford it? I'm blessed and highly favored. highly favored, that's all you need to know. Right. Keep some private stuff private. That was for free. Number 15 says this. So Boaz said, bring the saw you're wearing and spread it out. She spread it out and he poured it full of barley, 6 measures, and put it on her shoulders. Then she went back to town. Number 11 says this.
Must know a real man will invest in your pockets before trying to invest in your body.
I think I don't even need to move on. I can just leave that up there. I ain't even got to say anything about it. But let me just read it again. Must know a real man will invest in your pockets before trying to invest in your body. I do need to say something. And what I mean by that is, well, some of you are single and you have children. A real man will look before he ever gets next to you. He'll be willing to take care of the kids and you in just small things because he's looking down the road. He's investing in you. A real man knows the power of waiting because it's an investment. And you need to know that you're worthy of the investment. 16 and 17 says this. When she came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did things go, my dear daughter? The next verse says, Ruth told her everything that the man had done for her, adding, he gave me all this barley besides 6 quarts. He told me, you can't go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Read number 12.
Must know a real man tries to impress you and your family.
A real man don't want to hide. He wants to take care of everything he can take care of as much as humanly possible, because what he knows, when he gets you, he gets everything that comes with you. And so he said, send something back. I want you to have something, but take something back to mother-in-law, or take something back to them babies you got, because I want to take care of everything because I'm a real man. And while I'm talking about this, some of y'all will realize you ain't never met a real man in your life, but you're getting ready to. That's why I'm preaching. Number 18 says this. Naomi said, sit back and relax, my dear daughter, until we find out how things turn out. That man isn't going to fool around. Mark my words. He's going to get everything wrapped up today. Read number 13.
Must know how to relax, because a real man doesn't waste your time.
Here's the thing. You don't have to be engaged 12 years waiting on somebody. If you've been waiting 12 years and you got a ring on your finger and they keep pushing the wedding date back, I hate to be the bad person, the bearer of bad news. He really don't want you. A real man will get stuff wrapped up today. Let's go to the justice of the peace. I'm ready. I'm working stuff out. You need a man that will move right away. And what Naomi said, she said, Ruth, all you got to do now is relax. Let me tell a quick story. When me and Devin had been dating for 4 years, and I wanted to marry her, but I asked her this. I said, give me 2 weeks separation. I want 2 weeks, mean you have no contact. And what I was doing, I was trying to make sure this is what I really wanted. Within the 3 days, I knew what I wanted. The next thing I went and did and talked to her parents. First, I talked to my dad. The next thing I did, I talked to my parents. And I talked to her parents and my parents, and I was working things out. But in the process, she thought I was trying to dump her. So at the end of the 2 weeks, she said, if you was going to leave me, you could have just left me. You didn't have to string me out these 2 weeks. I said, baby, you don't understand. I wasn't trying to leave you. I'm trying to put stuff together. And I said, give me another day. The next day, I surprised her and proposed to her because I was working on something. When you got a real man, he'll put stuff together to get you. Because one thing I know, I don't want anybody to take what belongs to me. So I'm buying stuff. I'm putting stuff on layaway. I'm working stuff out because I want what I want. And 17 years later, I'm still with the same girl because I didn't let nobody slip behind me and take what belongs to me. I got working on it today. You need a today man. You need a man that'll move and say, what do we got to do? Where we got to go? Do we need a destination wedding? I'm on Expedia right now. I'm looking at cruise prices because I'm ready to do something today. You need a today man. And you let a man slow around, he'll slow around. Oh, I need to go on from there. Ruth chapter 4, verse 1 says, Boaz went straight to the public square and took his place there. Before long, the closer relative, the one mentioned earlier by Boaz, strolled by. Step aside, old friend, said Boaz. Take a seat. The man sat down. Read number 14.
Must know You won't have to beg a real man to make it public.
You need to keep private things private, but you ain't got to beg a real man to give you some public. If every time y'all take a picture, he says, don't post it on Facebook, something wrong with that relationship. You probably one of seven others. You got to know when you being played. A real man don't mind making public. This is my woman. One day, she going to be mine. I want to marry her. A real man will make it public. People who know me, I told them, Devin going to be mine because I knew what I wanted. And a real man don't mind making it public. And guess who he make it public to? Other men. That's the first. I remember one time a friend of mine didn't know me and Devin was together, and we was in the grocery store and we were separated, and the man was over there just looking up her down like he was looking at me in the. I was like, hold on, wait a second. This one belongs to me. You can move on out the way. A real man don't want to share. A real man said, this is mine. You got to back up. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how ugly you are. At the end of the day, Devin belonged to me. You better not think you're going to come roll up on me and do something that you better not think. You don't know who I am because a real man will make it public. This one belongs to me. You need somebody who will sing your praises from the rooftops. Stop getting somebody who always wants to hide you. All right. Gotta go. I didn't mean to go all this way. I'm going, but I know somebody needs to hear this. All right, number two. Boaz then gathered 10 of the town elders together and said, sit down here with us. We've got some business to take care of. And they sat down. 3 and 4. Boaz then said to his relative, the piece of property that belonged to our relative Elimelech is being sold by his widow Naomi, who has just returned from the country of Moab. And the next thing says, I thought you ought to know about it. Buy it back if you want it. You can make it official in the presence of those sitting here and before the town elders. Because of the way those rules work, he had to make sure that this other guy who would have had to write, he had to let them know. He had to do it with integrity and let them know what was going on. So he did that. All right, so the next one says it's number 15.
Must know a real man won't make major moves without consulting his elders.
He had the elders there. Like I said, when I wanted to marry my wife, I got with my dad. I got with my father-in-law. Before he was my father-in-law, I talked to other people. A real man wants to get his elders around so he makes a move and makes the right move. And not just about marriage. Men, let me let you know something. Whatever you embark on, get you some elders around you who can help you. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Get somebody that can help you navigate through where you're going. All right, the next thing says this. You have first redeemer rights. He was talking to that man. If you don't want it, tell me so I don't know where I stand. You're first in line to do this, and I'm next after you. Boaz wanted to do everything right. So this is what the other guy said. He said, I'll buy it. Next thing. Number 5, it says, then Boaz added, you realize, don't you, that when you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth the Moabite, the widow of our dead relative, along with the Redeemer, responsibility to have children with her to carry on the family inheritance. There's some responsibility that comes, and you get this woman. Number 16, this is something I want to throw out there. I don't have time to really dig into it. 16 says what?
Must know society has always treated women like property. And make sure the buck stops with you.
Even back in those days, women, she was going to be sold with the property. And you have to understand that there's a demonic sense in the world that looks at a woman as if they're property. And you got to make up in your mind, the buck stops with me. I'm not a property. I'm a human soul. You better treat my heart right. I'm not something you do a back deal with in the corner and you trade me around. I'm not to be human traffic. I'm not to be looked like I'm a piece of me. I'm not a piece of property. I'm a child of God. I'm a woman of God. I'm a child of the King. And whoever deals with me, you cannot deal with me like I'm a piece of property. Women, you always must understand that. And men, we've got to understand that too. Because there's a challenge with us, with our eyes. We are trained to treat women like property. But you got to make up in your mind, I would not look at another woman like she's a piece of meat. She's my sister. She's my friend. She's my whatever. But she's not a piece of property. She deserves everything she gets. And guess what? Equal work, equal pay. We would be further ahead in life if we treated our women much better than we treated them. And as many years as we've been in America, we've never had a woman president. And women have run this earth. And women have run this country. And when the men went off the world war, it was the women who stood in the 40s and ran the factories. We got to treat our women like they're the queens that they are. They're not property. They're special. And if it wasn't for a woman, not one of us men would ever be here. We all need a woman to make it. So we've got to remember that. Six, then the relative said, oh, I can't do that. I jeopardize my own family's inheritance. You go ahead and buy it. You can have my rights. I can't do it. I jeopardize my own family inheritance. I can't do it. I jeopardize my own family inheritance. I'm saying that because I got a side note I want to just sink in. Side note number two says what?
Must never be willing to play the side chick role.
Let me let you know something about the side chick role. The man doesn't really mind having something on the side, but he'll never jeopardize his real inheritance for you. So you'll be waiting in the side all your life. Once you make up in your mind you're going to be the side chick, you'll be the side chick forever, because he really don't want to jeopardize what he has. So you got to make up in your mind, I will not play the side chick role. If you already got somebody, stay out of my inbox. Tell married men, stay out of my inbox and love the one you're with. I am not a side chick. I'm not a side piece. I'm not an appetizer. I'm not nachos and dip. I'm the main course. And if you want to be with me, you better come correct. Because at the end of the day, and here's what I mean. I'm talking about prominent men. Poor men don't mind messing up their family. Prominent men don't want to jeopardize what they have. That basketball star, he don't want to be all over the news. So he'll keep you as the side chick as long as you allow it. So you make up in your mind, I will never be the side chick. Oh, this woman ain't going to be nobody's chick. That's what you got to say to yourself. 9:10, Boaz then addressed the elders, I'll take her as my wife and keep the name of the deceased alive along with his inheritance. The memory and reputation of the deceased is not going to disappear out of this family or from his hometown. To all this, you are witnesses this very day. Number 17 says what? Read it.
Must know a real man is not just concerned about his legacy, he's concerned about his woman's too.
He's concerned about his woman's legacy. And you don't... Men with your wives, don't just talk about my son. My son's gonna carry my name. My son's gonna carry. Talk about your daughters too, because the legacy comes on both sides. Just don't talk about your parents. Talk about your in-laws. Be concerned about the whole family, because the woman is important and her legacy is important. 11 and 12 says this. All the people in the town square that day backing up, the elder said, yes, we are witnesses. May God make this woman who is coming into your household like Rachel and Leah, the two women who built the family of Israel. And then they said, may God make you a pillar in Ephratah and famous in Bethlehem with the children God gives you from this young woman. May your family rival the family of Perez, the son of Tamar, bore to Judah. So all these people around the town square, they were singing the praises about this engagement. Read side note number three.
Must know if no one, nowhere is excited about the woman you're about to get, rethink what you're doing.
Somebody ought to be excited when you say you're engaged. You're going to have some haters, but if you think you have 250 haters, they just don't want me to prosper. No, you got the wrong one. Somebody's going to be excited. And sometimes we make mistakes getting with people that we never should have got with because we think everybody's hating on me. Not everybody's hating on you. Somebody knows you're going down the wrong path. Somebody somewhere ought to be excited about what you're doing. All right, 13, Boaz married Ruth. She became his wife. Boaz slept with her. By God's gracious gift, she conceived and had a son. First it said she laid down next to Boaz. Then she said she laid close to. Then he said, you spend the night. But it didn't say she slept with him until when? Read number 18.
Must know it's still proper to getting married, then get to sleeping together.
I know y'all think it's old-fashioned, but it's still proper. It's still right. It's still the best thing for your emotions. It's still the best things for your heart. Some of y'all would have dropped those people a long time ago if you never moved into a physical relationship. It's still proper. It's still Bible. I'll still preach it. It's still the best possible choice for you to wait till you get married. Because it makes you really think it through. Because if I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life, I'm not going to make a decision based off of my physical feelings. I'm making a decision based off of my future. Because I don't care how good it looks, it will fade. It will sag. It will expand. It will grow. Don't make long-term decisions over small things. Amen. Andre is still proper and it's still right. I got to get us out of here. Getting close to that hour. Mark message 14:15 says this. The town women said to Naomi, blessed be God. He didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He'll make you young again. Read number 19.
Must know it may not be you that makes it, but the person that you mentor might cause the blessing to come.
I want to talk to you older people right now. You may look over your life and say, I missed all my opportunities. I missed everything. But maybe the blessing was never to come through you. It's through the person that you mentor. And the person that you mentor is going to make your life worth something. So you may be 65. You may be 70. You may be 58. You may be 52 and think life is over for you. But don't think life is over. Mentor somebody else. Mentor the next generation. And you'll find out your blessing is going to come to the person that you partner with. There's hope. All right. The verse after that says this. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much. Why? She's worth more to you than seven sons. When we first meet Naomi, she was mad. She lost her husband. She lost her son. She said, I'm bitter. But God said, just one person I bring into your life is worth all the other trouble. Let me tell you something. One man will make up for all the other men. One woman will make up for all the other women. One yes will make up for all the other no's. One piece of favor, one day of favor will make up for all the tears you've had. You got to understand, as long as you're still breathing, as long as you're still living, as long as your eyes still open up and the sun is still shining, you still have a chance to make it. And God can drop one thing on you and it could change your life forever. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit. God can give you one person. And that number seven means completion. He can give you one person that can completely turn your whole life around. All right. I know we're ready to go. I got to get us out of here. 16 says this. Naomi took the baby and held him in her arms, cuddling him, cooing over him, waiting on him hand and foot. Verse 17, the neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy. But his real name was Obed. Let me say this. This is what grandmothers know. When you get to grandmother stage, you're in another stage. And it's something about being a grandmother. You don't get as irritated as you used to have with the kids. And people will look at you and say, that's your kids. That's your kids. My kids have two grandmothers. They have Gigi and Maymay. And when Gigi and Maymay is around, I don't care if I'm saying hi. I don't care if I'm saying I want to hug you. They don't care nothing about me. They care about Gigi and Maymay because there's something about that grandmother anointing that says I want to be with my grandma. And here's the thing. Once you move over into an area like that, the blessing that comes through somebody else, it'll be just as much your blessing too. Let me say this. You've been praying for your pastor. You've been believing in your pastor. When I get blessed, it's going to make all of y'all proud. Don't give up. Your life is not over. You're going to have one person that's going to pull you all the way into the blessing. And it's going to be yours too. Number 20 says what?
Must know the only reason it started off so bad is because Satan knew all along you had a king in you.
Go up to the previous verse that we just had, 17. It says what? Read that, Mother Mitchell.
The neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy, but his real name was Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David.
So David, the King David, was all the way in the line the whole time. And so I said this, the only reason why it's been so hard for you at the start is Satan knew you had a king in you. You got a king dream. You got a king attitude. You got a king relationship coming. You got a majesty all on the inside of you, and you don't even know it, but the devil knows it, and he's hitting you as hard as he can, but there's a king in you. Somebody say, there's a king in me.
There's a king.
There's a king in me. There's Goliath to defeat. There's power in me. There's majesty in me. I don't care who gets in office. I don't care if it's the Republicans, the Democrats. I don't care if you call a Republican. I don't care who you put in office. There's a king in me. You can't stop what God has for me.
And if Satan could have killed you, he would have tried a long time ago. 21 and 22 says this, and this is where we're closing, I promise. Solomon had Boaz. Boaz had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. Side note number 4, read that.
Jesus comes from the line of David.
21, read 21, point 21, the last point.
Must realize the hidden truth of Ruth is God will go through great lengths to get you connected to Jesus.
This sermon really isn't just about getting married and all that. The truth is hidden in this story. God will go through hell and high water to connect you to his son. Don't care how many addictions. Don't care how many divorces. Don't care how many failures. Don't care how many no's you've had. At the end of the day, God only is after one thing. He wants to connect you to Jesus. I've been addicted to pornography since I've been a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I was addicted to alcohol. But God said, I'm going to use you to preach my word. Amen. If you were asking me, I would have said he picked the wrong person. But what God knew, once I connect him to my son, it's not about what he's not. It's not about what he can't do. It's not about what education he has. It's not about the addictions in his life. It's not about his past. It's only about one thing, my son. And when my son went to the cross, he paid the price. And so if I want to use him to preach, can't nobody stop me because my son has paid the price. And if God wants to cause you to get married, can't nobody stop him because his son has paid the price. If God want to take cancer out of your body, can't nobody stop him because his son has paid the price. Ruth is a regular story that tells us a spiritual principle. The whole behind the scenes, all he's trying to do is connect you to his son. Last thing I'm going to say. Ruth was connected to Jesus, but what about you? Let's stand to our feet as we ponder this question. From Ruth chapter 1 to chapter 4, interesting story, interesting love story, interesting all the real life practicalities we can get out of it, interesting all the relationship stuff we can get out of it. But at the end of the day, there's one relationship that matters. It's being connected to the Son through the Father. And my question is, today, are you connected to the Son? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, everybody.